This is tape number PC-193.
Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this hour that we have to spend together, Lord. We thank you, God, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to our hearts, to our lives, and we ask your blessing on this meeting. We thank you, Lord, and praise you that you've just allowed us to be a part of this and of what you have us involved in. We thank you for it, God. And we ask, Lord, that we'd be better equipped to do what you've called us to do. Keep our eyes on you. Draw us closer to you, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's been on my heart as I was praying about this time is some have asked, you know, we're going to teach new songs or anything like that. And at the end, there's this worship leaders conference, Calvary Chapel Worship Leaders Conference in San Diego coming up in 2, 3, 4 months, something like this. And it'll happen there, some of that, but the time's too short here. And God has really put prayer on my heart and the urgency of praying. Our place in the ministry and your place in the ministry is by His appointment, and it's by His command. And the Scripture says that God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him, and He's put us where we are to serve Him and to be used of Him. And the Bible speaks of, obviously, of prayer. It's all over. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In Colossians 4:2, it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." In Luke 18:1, Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the most important activity in a born-again, that a born-again Christian can engage in. It should be at the head of our priority list. So I wanted to go down a little list of things to pray for as being involved in music ministry and leading in worship. These are things that I know I pray for, and want to share them with you. The first thing is the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the first thing. I just pray that God would just anoint myself. Lord, anoint me. Give me the power and the anointing to do what you've called me to do. Our service unto God, it is a spiritual service, and it requires the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or His empowering and His guidance and inspiration to fulfill. Three verses, if you turn to them, in Acts chapter 4, it's verses 31 through 33. Excuse me. Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 33. It's when the disciples, the apostles, were first really persecuted here, and they ran back to the fellowship. And in verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." If you remember, you know, we've all heard of Peter. You know how he denied Christ, and that was his witness before the day of Pentecost. And after the day of Pentecost, he stood up and preached, and thousands received the Lord. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do any area of ministry. It's not something that we can do because we sing good or think we do, or play good or think we do. It's only because of the ministry of the Spirit through our lives. And Jesus, and you don't have to turn to it, but in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that's when the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus before he started his public ministry. And so, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Anoint me for service continually. Empower me to do what you've called me to do. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it speaks of those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And no amount of technique or rehearsal guarantees God's anointing upon your life in ministry. We must wait upon God in prayer. And the second thing that is for God's direction in the choice of songs that we sing. And I pray for this, because I know that God has a particular plan for that particular evening. And I just pray for that God would bring to mind the songs and that he wants to be sung, and the length of them. You know, sometimes you're singing a song and you can just sense that it's a real time of making that a prayer, you know, and people's hearts are being lifted up to the Lord, and you just want to go longer with it. I just pray for God's guidance and direction in that choice of songs. And you know how some songs fit together real good? You do two or three that, you know, that's good, but we should also watch out that we don't always do them because we always do them. And to beware of, you know, formulas and ruts. There was a thing that was going around amongst some a while back, at least around here, where they were talking about the scriptural way to worship. And I thought, well, what's that? And that was that, you know, you first had to do it this way. If you didn't, it didn't work. And that was, you were first on the outer courts of the temple, then you went on the inner courts, and, you know, songs of praise and thanksgiving. Then eventually you ended up in the Holiest of Holies singing directly to him. And if you ever sang a song, when you were at that point, if you ever sang a song that wasn't directly to him, then you're off. And there were even those who would make out lists for other worship leaders and say, do it this way and don't change from it. And last year at the pastor's conference, there was a man who went up to Pastor Chuck and was pretty upset because nobody clapped their hands, a clap offering of the Lord. And the scripture says, clap your hands, all you people, shout on God with a voice of triumph. And he says, where we fellowship, you know, the Spirit doesn't move until we clap our hands, you know. And, you know, it's too bad, you know, but it's just a little trip. I think another scripture I'd like to turn to is Acts chapter 13. Something that I know, this is a couple of my favorite verses in Acts chapter 13 about the Holy Spirit guiding. And it's just a neat picture to me. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, read verse 4, 2, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. Now this was the first missionary journey of Paul. And it says, as they ministered unto the Lord and as they fasted, the Holy Ghost spoke to them. Isn't that exciting to think the Holy Spirit speaks to us and guides us? He does, and he wants to. So I just pray for direction in the choice of songs. And something real similar to it, third thing is for sensitivity and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been playing and there's a song that comes to your mind, and it's a song that you've done maybe, many times for many years, and a thought comes in your mind, well, I can't play that one. I mean, they're going to think I don't know any other songs, you know. I should do the new one, you know, where everybody always claps or something, you know. And but God is speaking to your heart saying, no, do this one. Well, I've been in that situation more than once. And we need to be obedient when the Holy Spirit leads us or puts a certain song in our minds, regardless of who thinks it's too old or whatever. It doesn't matter. And so I pray for sensitivity and that I'd be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Also, there are times when, you know, you just feel like you just want to sing a song a cappella, and or just to start out something like that, but yet you're real timid with your voice. And I am. I mean, I was never a singer anyway, much less having a cold for the last 5 years, you know. So... And this cough and this tickle that just won't go away. Thought it was, but 4 days ago, here it came again. But just the Lord, you know, the other night, we did this one song, a cappella, that we usually play on. It was just so neat to hear everybody sing, you know. And it was such a blessing to do. And we actually got through it, you know. And it was a blessing. But the Lord puts things like that and leads us and guides us when we're in those, when we're ministering, and we need to be obedient to Him. The fourth thing is I pray for a heart to worship and only look upon Jesus when we gather together. First of all, personally, and this is probably one of the most important things, it's been said that it's hard to lead people somewhere where you haven't been yourself. And it is. I don't know if you ever... Well, you have. We all have. Driven with someone that doesn't even know where they're going. And it's very frustrating. And it's a waste of time. And but pray that in my own heart, Lord, give me a heart just to worship You. Give me a heart that would just be after You and not after anything else. And also... in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn to it, 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So Paul said, "I delivered to you that which I first received." And that's always the formula or the way ministry is. You receive. You can't give what you don't have. And you receive it first from the Lord, and then you give it to others. And then... something that's always on my heart is I pray for the congregation. I just pray that God would bless their fellowship when they come in the doors, that that they would have a mind and a heart to worship, and, you know, stretch that out. I pray, you know, we pray for others too, other congregations, just that God would impress upon our hearts to, you know, not come late because there's a certain time of singing that they know about or whatever, but that their hearts would be so on fire for Jesus and so yearning and hungering after Him that they would just love to join together with the body of Christ and sing and lift up their hearts to Him. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's something that I just want to see so bad. I want to see that. And it's nothing that I can do at all, or that any of us can do. It has to be by the working of the Holy Spirit, and so pray. Just really urge you and to pray for that, and pray for the congregation. And the fifth thing is that we wouldn't be sidetracked from what God has called us to do. There are those within the body who would try and pressure you into doing things that the Lord doesn't really want you doing. For example, when my wife and I were still in San Diego, we were part of the ministry at Horizon for 4.5 years, and there would be some musicians who would say, hey, you know, we need a musician's referral list, you know, so we can get bands together and all that. Well, it was so hard to keep it up and keep it together, and everybody, most of them were single, and they move every 3 days, and it was so hard to do. And sort of along with that, there's a ministry opportunity list. Well, let's do that. Okay, so we typed it up, and the secretary, whoever was there at the time, had to do it every week, and because of the way I was doing it, I could have done a little bit different, but... And one person used it one time, and they never even followed up on that ministry opportunity. And we had a musician's referral list, get back to that, here, when we came up here, and I just let it sit there. It was sort of left over from years ago. I just let it sit there, and there was probably 15 people in maybe 2 years that used it. And it's just some things you just feel like, well, it's a good idea, but yet, and yeah, I know I'm supposed to be the guy or whatever, but, you know, I just don't want to do that. I'm not supposed to do that, you know. But you get caught up in doing it. And one time, I was asked when I was down at Horizon to do this orchestra, and I don't read a note. And it just sort of came about, and they sounded not too good. I mean, they were, you know, it was so hard to do, and it just kind of, you know, kind of faded away. But it's easy to get to do things that aren't really on your heart to do or that God hasn't called you to do because you seem to fit in that category, and it just kind of gets shoved your way. Well, pray. Pray that you would do what and be about the Lord's business, what the Lord's business is for you. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, it speaks about running a race. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and first part of verse 2, it says that we should lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And there are weights and sin that besets us and hinders the ministry and our walks with him. In Matthew Henry, in commentary, there's a quote, and I'd like to read it to you. It says, those in the ministry must attend to the main design of their ministry without troubling themselves or the people with things foreign to it. And the sixth thing is to pray for the pastor and others you minister with. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, it speaks of this guy named Epaphras. And it says, Paul wrote and says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He was laboring in prayers for these, that they'd stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And there's a... worship is a form of prayer. Supplications is a form of prayer. And intercession is too. And intercession is when you get into the laboring part, really. You know, worship isn't really that hard to do because it's so spontaneous and just, you know, you're just thanking God for his blessings and his touch upon your life. And most of us don't have too hard of a time with supplications and asking and... coming before God with our needs, but intercession for others, it's labor. The pastor and those who you minister with, the other musicians who you're with, pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the seventh thing is new songs. And I don't know how many of you consider yourself songwriters. There are some people that could, you know, write about 10 songs a day or something. Others, it's hard. But yet you want new songs. And but I think it's something that you need to, and I need to, pray for and just ask God for some new songs. They don't have to come from me, you know. There's hundreds of people in the body who can sing. They don't need to play an instrument. They sing in the shower and worship the Lord, and you know, here comes a song. But pray for new songs. And I'd like to just read a couple verses here about Jesus' prayer life. In Luke 6:12, it says that Jesus continued all night in prayer to God. And I think it's kind of funny because in the next verse, 13, is when he chose the disciples. But in Matthew 14, verse 23, it says that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray after feeding the 5,000. And in the end of Luke chapter 10, it speaks about that whole situation with Mary and Martha when Jesus went to their house. And Martha was busy serving and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And he said, one thing is needful. And Mary's chosen that good part and it won't be taken away from her. Well, Jesus did that one thing that was needful in the very next verse, which is Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And you know, you go through these different like chapters or plateaus or whatever, where you know you really sense God's blessing and really his anointing, you know, and people are really just pouring their hearts out to Jesus, and then sometimes you just feel like it's just kind of staying there, you know, or just kind of, well, we sang for a while, you know, and I believe that God wants us to come before him in prayer and really seek him and bathe the ministry in prayer and our own lives and those things that pertain to it. I would like to pray together here and break up into some small groups and pray. And if you've written any of these things down, pray for them. And if you haven't, write some of your own things down. But make it a priority in your life to pray. You know, one time this lady, we have a meeting on Sunday nights and Thursday nights and that I'm involved with. And this one lady asked me before the service if I could not have him stand so long. And we usually sing for about a half an hour or so. And probably about 15 after, I was having people stand for about 10 minutes. And I don't always look at the clock. You know, I like to do it about 20 after, but sometimes I do it 50. And I guess for a couple Thursdays in a row, I did it 15 minutes after. And she said, you know, after the first song, I mean, you know, the blood was just going down my arms or legs. And I was getting so tired and my mind got so on myself. And hey, I was, you know, I've been here a long time and I was even here before Chuck Smith was here. And, you know, I mean, she is a neat sister in the Lord. She is. She's been there a long time and everything. But what do I do with that information, you know, or that input? I didn't know what to say. I said, well, I don't even remember what I said, to be honest with you, because I can't say I'll do it because I don't want to say I'll do it and not do it by mistake. So, and then another lady 2 weeks earlier asked if we could stand more. And because she likes to stand she just feels this need to do this, you know. And there was a lady who very sincerely, she was always like in the first or second row, but she'd sing, really sing, and she was like kind of operatic type voice. And she held out notes way longer than everybody else. And after the first month or two that I heard her, I sort of got used to her. But I don't think others did. And it really ended up being a distraction. She had to be talked to, and from what I understand, I think she left for a while. And I think she was here the last week or whatever, but I didn't hear her. But someone told me they saw her. And there's all these different things that always come up, you know. All these different little frustrations and stuff, and working together with other musicians. Man, the place that God has called us to be is such a radical privilege, you know. Just to serve Him, just to be able to be used of Him. I often think, and it's sort of in the back of my mind somewhere, that every time we gather together, I want to see some big cataclysmic thing happen. And when it doesn't, I go, well, what's wrong with me, you know? And I want to see the day of Pentecost, you know, see people, you know, flat on their faces, weeping, you know, and it's always been sort of something in the back of my mind that I just really want to see God just wipe us all out and empower us and go out and, you know, in His power and might. The Lord spoke to my heart that when we first came up here, that it really wasn't going to be that way. It was going to be little by little, that He was just going to bless. And little by little, that He was going to add to it and minister to people's hearts. So that, you know, a new song comes in here, a new one there. Just that His anointing and His working would just would be that way. It wouldn't be like that. One tape that I listened to when Pastor Chuck was teaching, it was from Corinthians. One of the first points he said about ministry was we have to completely trust God for any fruit in the ministry. And we do, because it's His and it isn't ours. It's so easy to look on ourselves and think, well, and I think this often, I go, well, next, you know, why doesn't the next guy take over? I think I'll leave or something, because I feel so dispensable, you know, and we all are, really, but that's something to be in prayer about and ask God to say, Lord, keep my eyes off myself and on You. Anoint me and help bless and guide us. So let's pray together, and for just about 10 or 15 minutes here in some small groups, and then I'll close us in prayer, okay? Let's just turn around some small groups. Together, Lord, for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit to our hearts. Lord, we ask, God, that You make us able ministers. We thank You, Father. We praise Your name together.
Jesus. Jesus, Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the Lamb. O Lord, your beautiful, your face is all I see, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. O Lord, your beautiful, your touch is all I need. Your touch is all I need. For when your hand is on this child, for when your hand is on this child, your healing flows to me. Your healing flows to me.
Father, we pray that you'd be glorified in our midst. Father, we pray for every single meeting that we're a part of, Lord, that you would completely be glorified. We pray, Lord, for our pastors, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would rest mightily on them. And for those who we minister with, God, that you would just bless them. We ask you for sensitivity, that, Lord, we could be as an instrument in your hands, not doing our own thing, but yours, God, whatever you want to do. We pray for such, pray that there'd be an openness, Lord, to you. Such an openness, Lord. Father, we do ask you together that you cleanse our hearts of all of our sin and our disobedience. Forgive us, God. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. And I lift my hands, and I lift my hands to worship you as my soul commands, to worship you as my soul commands. Take joy, my King, in what you see. In what you see, may it be a sweet, sweet sight unto thee.
May it be a sweet, sweet sight unto thee. Hallelujah.
Jesus, we pray that you'd teach us to pray. And Lord, that our prayer lives would be number one. And Lord, that it would be ahead of our priority list, Lord. It's the greatest privilege we have is to talk to you and commune with you. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to pray and teach us to pray. Praise your name, Lord. We thank you for this time. Bless the remainder of this conference, Lord. We lift it before you, Father. Thanks for letting us be here, God. Thanks, Lord. So neat, Lord. Praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's an announcement here. There's going to be some of these on the table over there. On the table over there on your way out. And what it is the third annual Calvary Chapel Worship Leaders Conference. And the last 2 years it was held at Horizon, on the Horizon campus in San Diego. That's where it's going to be again. And there's a whole bunch of information on this. There really isn't any wasted space. So it's neat. It tells you a lot. It has a little map. Even prices of hotels to get a good deal and when it is, but there's a whole bunch of has a whole format here, what's going on, and it's the first year. Doesn't matter how many, I forget, but I know the second year there was a lot more, and God just really blessed it. So pray about it, okay, and take one, and hopefully we can see you there. Okay, have anything else you wanted to? Okay. So, God bless you.
May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to study His Word. If you'd like more information about tapes or books, please write for our free catalog. Our address is The Word for Today, Post Office Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628, USA.